everyone. This is Ashley Pfeiffer.
And Ariel Brooke Stevens.
And you're listening to At the Closing Table with Ariel and Ashley. We're coming to you on Reggae Rocks Kennel County, and we will be with you on the first Saturday of every month from 9 to 10 a.m. If you've missed an episode and you are just devastated because you don't know what you could have possibly missed, feel free to download the Reggae Rocks app, and you can go to the podcasts and see any and all podcasts that we've done previously. So without further ado,
okay,
let's get into it.
All right. I know last time we covered some pretty meaty topics. Some people may have found it a little too much. However, Ashley and I were talking because she gets phone calls all the time. I'm a walking example of the sandwich generation trying to manage life with elderly parents. And we started talking about how death impacts real estate and title and all of the things that you never wish you always knew, because once the unthinkable happens, I don't think people realize how it impacts buying and selling and how property is moved or how things are handled at the state level. Anyway, so although not the most uplifting topic that we've come across,
a little morbid. It's a little morbid,
it is.
But
it
we
is.
All have to deal with it. And there's so many different variables in
yes.
it that I feel like, you know, if you don't know the questions to ask, which is exactly
yeah.
what we talked about in our last podcast.
Yes.
You know, there are so many things. If you don't know what to ask, you don't even know what you don't know.
Well, and I have to say my journey, you know, dealing with an elderly parent, trying to get through that, and then the stories, the horror stories you hear about how, you know, a parent passes and you're stuck.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, when we say death, and again, we know that it's morbid, but everybody has a thought that comes along with that. And just like Ariel said, parents. But you know, there are times where we're in the middle of a transaction and someone passes.
Yes.
There are times when, you know, someone passes and then because of that passing, you have to have a transaction.
Right.
So there are so many variables that if we don't talk kind of about each one separately, I'm afraid that there's so much info that it's going to get confusing. So I think we'll just kind of take it from the top and work our way through them all. If during this you guys have questions for us, you can send us messages on At the Closing Table on Facebook,
mm-hmm.
and we will respond to those.
Yes.
And whether it's questions about this podcast, previous podcasts, or podcasts that you want us to do in the future,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, I'm young and I'm buying my first house, or, you know, we don't know what questions y'all have. So again, At the Closing Table on Facebook, message us, and then we'll, you know, address those, any and all questions when we get them.
Well, and before we get in the weeds, it's also imperative to say we're not attorneys. We're not financial planners.
Exactly right.
We did not stay in a Holiday Inn Express last night. But as real estate professionals, title
mm-hmm.
owners, we think that there's some valuable information for people just to have, should the worst happen.
Right. And since we're not attorneys, what I'm going to come at you with is from the title side.
Right.
You know, what I see, what questions I get, and what my answers are.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, sometimes my answer is, whew, you need to seek outside counsel. You need to get yourself an attorney.
I can't tell you how many times my answer is, you need to call Ashley.
Oh, right. Call Ariel. So sometimes there are things, you know, either that we don't know or we know you're going to have an attorney for. And if that's the case, then that's where we're going to direct you. And
right.
as we go through these things, I will tell you, okay, this requires an attorney, or, you know, here's what we do when this happens, you know, on a file. And we'll just kind of keep you updated as we go.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
Go.
Okay. So, death. When someone passes, like I said, there are multiple things that can happen, because did they pass while we're in the middle of a transaction? Did your mother pass and now you have to sell her home? Did, you know, I mean, there are so many variables, but here is the standard answer no matter what the original question was, so long as death is involved, okay? So there are really three options. There is, you can probate. There is a munificent of title. And there's affidavits of heirship. So,
those are big words, Ashley.
I know they are. And that's why I'm like, ooh, how am I going to explain this and make it to where those of you that don't do this all day, every day, are not just going to turn the podcast off because you're like, whoa, that number one is over my head and so boring, I can't even get on board with it. So we're going to try to not make it. We're going to throw in some stories because always we have stories about these things. And the ones that I don't find particularly interesting, I'm going to go real fast. I always think that's a good answer, right? Either I don't like it, I don't want to do it. Okay, we'll go fast. All right. So, speaking of fast, the first one, munificent of title. That is a very big word, and when you throw it out, most people have never even heard of it. So, a munificent of title is like probate, and we're going to talk way more about probate in a minute, but a munificent of title is like probate, but it is shortened. It is generally done with a will being admitted into the courts. So when you hear the word courts, you know you got to have an attorney involved, right? Mm-hmm. So there is a timeline that has to be followed, and there are things that have to happen that an attorney has to do through the judge and the courts. So a will is generally admitted, and it is the sole evidence for the disposition of property that only has liens on it associated with real property. So like if you have a huge estate, you can't do a munificent of title, right? So that would be something you would go to an attorney and you would say, look, here's the estate. Is a munificent of title an option? Okay? So that's one option. The second option is a probate. So a probate, again, you have to have an attorney. It has timelines associated with it that are longer than a munificent of title, and generally more things associated with the estate than just real property. Okay? So a probate is done for one of two reasons. The first reason is, hey, we've got a big estate, we want to probate. Once you go through all the timelines, which an attorney helps you with, you get it situated at the courts, you go through, an independent executor is assigned in association with the estate.
Okay? And that's through the courts that the independent executor is assigned? Okay.
Yes. So it's really a lengthy process. And again, I don't want to bore anybody any more than I absolutely have to. But, you know, you have an order admitting the will, then you have the will, then you have the execution and the acceptance of the letters test, then you have the inventory and the order accepting the inventory. So all of these things are done by the attorneys. Again, timelines. Mm-hmm. So there is money associated. You know, it takes a little bit longer and there's more steps. But once the courts have determined that you have an independent executor, then that executor can dispose of any and everything within the estate. Right. So that's why sometimes that is the only route to go. If you've got feuding children, you've got, you know, there are times where, believe it or not, families don't get along. Now, that is shocking, Ariel. But as many times as I've had to call the police to come and sit in on a closing, let me tell you, it happens. So when you've got that going on and everybody cannot agree and affidavits of heirship are really not an option, probate is where we send people. We say, look, get yourself an attorney, go through the probate process, and once you are, you know, given the powers from the courts, then you can, you know, transact.
You mentioned wills. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of questions that we get are, I have a will. Do I still have to go through probate? You know, the wishes of the deceased was clearly spelled out in the will. Speak a little bit about why you would still do probate.
Okay. Well, so that brings me to, remember I said that there were three options: munificent of title, probate, and affidavits of heirship.
That was a smooth transition. I didn't even know.
You did. Thank you very much for that. Appreciate it. Okay. So affidavits of heirship are just that. They are affidavits that people sign that tell you this is the truth about someone. Okay? So generally what happens is if someone has passed, whether they have a will or not. So let's talk about they pass and they have a will.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
In the state of Texas, we have literally a flow chart.
Oh, it's
Oh, wait.
It's
I have
impressive.
It. I wish that you there at home on the podcast could see this, but I actually have it in my hand. And the state of Texas has determined that this is the course by which property is divested depending on all of these things. So when you call and you say, hey, somebody died, what do? I'm going to ask you some questions right off the bat that are going to tell me, hey, yes, we can do affidavits of heirship. No, we can't. Ooh, you need an attorney. So right. Here's what I'm going to ask you. First thing is, if the person was married when they passed, were they only married to each other? And do they only have children of that marriage? If the answer is yes, we all breathe a sigh of relief.
Yes.
Because that means that more than likely, affidavits of heirship will work for us. So affidavits of heirship, you find two disinterested parties and one blood relative that is of the deceased. And they say, hey, I've known this person for 22 years. They died here. They don't have any estate taxes. They were married to only this one person, and they had these two children. Right? So then we know, okay, we've got a husband and a wife. The flow chart for the state of Texas tells us that if one spouse dies, they only have children together, that the half interest goes to the other spouse. Okay? Which means the remaining spouse would have 100% interest. Now, here's where it gets a lot stickier. Let's say that the two people were married. They had three children together, but the wife had a child prior to her marriage.
Yeah.
So a child not of this marriage. All of a sudden, everything has changed. You go down a different portion of the flow chart. And that says that if two people are married in the state of Texas and they have children other than those just of the marriage, it pulls that other child in.
Right.
So you cannot get rid of their interest without execution by that person. So let me give you an example of this. So this is my own personal story. My father and my mother were married. They had two children, myself and my little brother. Fast forward, they divorce. My father remarries, and he's married for 20 plus years to the same woman. They buy multiple houses. They sell multiple houses. Everything's going along great. And they have a house. She's a doctor, by the way, so she really made all the money. She bought this house.
Yeah.
So now, fast forward, my father passes away. And after many years of me telling him that he needed a will and to get all this taken care of, sandwich generation right here.
Yeah.
And he did not do it. So he passes, and guess what? His wife has a half interest in that property. The other half went to myself and my little brother. Now, did we ever live in that house? Did we ever make a payment? Heck. You know, no.
That's tough.
It is. And, you know, I knew exactly what to do because I do this all day, every day,
right?
I wait the 60 days. We filed the affidavits of heirship. I had a deed prepared. My brother and I signed the deed, and then we recorded it. Great. But if you don't have something like that, that is where these kids that, you know, are brought in because they are the divorced kids and probably hold grudges, you know, whatever. That is where things get so sticky because not everybody just says, oh yeah, I know that's not my house. Let me sign it away. You know, so often we have people that are like, you know, I call them the haves and the have nots, right?
Yeah.
The have nots are always like, well, wait, they already have a house. I should get this one. Okay. No, it doesn't work.
Right.
So that is a personal example of how affidavits of heirship can be used to protect people's interest and to get the interest into the people that it's supposed to be in.
But, and I can't tell you how many times that particular instance becomes so sticky and sad when the surviving spouse had no idea that that's the way things transpire in the state of Texas. And they're trying to sell the property. And, I mean, talk about the brakes being put on pretty quickly, because not only are you now having to pick up the pieces for the people trying to sell, but you've got a buyer who's now trying to figure out what this looks like for them too.
Right.
And as a realtor, we don't know all these things. And a lot of times we don't know any of these things until they land in our lap, smack in the middle of a transaction.
And so often we don't know. I mean, literally, yeah. we have gotten all the way down to the execution of deeds where we have been told that there are only three children of this marriage. And the person who comes in to sign the affidavit of heirship says, what about Joe Bob?
Oh, Lord.
What do you mean? What about Joe Bob? Joe Bob. What? Oh, well, that's his son. You know, they don't talk. They haven't talked in years. But
yes.
I mean, that is what we as a title company are trying to avoid. Because if there is any missing interest in a chain of title, that is where claims happen.
Yes.
And claims is a whole nother thing for us to talk about at some other future podcast. But that is ultimately, when you come to a title company, what everyone is trying to avoid.
Yeah.
Someone who has a claim to a piece of property that did not get their share or did not convey their share.
Well, and the death is traumatic anyway.
Right.
And so you're moving on. You feel like you're making some progress and you're trying to maybe take care of the spouse who can't afford the house on their own and everybody's in agreement. And then all of a sudden, it's just an already delicate situation, a probably traumatic situation, just becomes even more so. It's really heartbreaking to be in the middle of all of that.
It really is. And, you know, so many times they're like, okay, well, I got all his interest. That was his wishes. Mm-hmm. Okay, but what you have to understand is what is recorded of record is what is going to be looked at 15 years from now, 100 yeah. years from now. So just because that was his wishes, you have to have proof.
Right. Because you don't want the person to have purchased the home and then try to sell it. And then in their sale, they find out that there was a party who had
right.
claim to the
right.
property.
You know, so often, and especially I feel like it is with, you know, second marriages
mm-hmm.
where they come in and they're like, look, I married him. All his kids were grown. We've really not had any dealings with them. What do you mean they have to sign? He and I bought this house together. Okay, well, you've got two options. If he doesn't have a will, you have to do affidavits of heirship.
Mm-hmm.
Or if he does have a will, you can go probate it. But
yeah.
then people are like, oh, that's going to cost a lot of money and I don't want to do that. Okay, well, pick your poison.
Yes, exactly.
Pick your poison.
Are there ways to avoid that?
Oh, well, this is probably where I would tell you that you need to get an attorney.
Yeah.
I do know, you know, that there are trusts and we'll talk
yeah,
about that.
Yeah, we talked about that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times, again, I'm not an attorney. I know I play one here apparently on the podcast, but I'm really not. So here's the thing. There are lots of attorneys out there, and there are different kinds, right? You've got uh-huh. corporate attorneys, and you've got real estate attorneys, and you've got family law attorneys, and sometimes their knowledge base does not all overlap. So, you know, if you've got, you know, somebody who's doing probates and all of that kind of stuff, you know, I don't know. I don't know what to say other than, gosh, make sure that whatever you are trying to do, you've got the correct type of attorney helping you
yes.
so that things don't get missed. I mean, we had one where, and this is a trust thing, but we had a trust where it was a great trust. It had everything except for the power of sale. So the trustees were trustees. We knew they were trustees, but they couldn't sell the property. I mean, so there's things like that that happen, and you're like, what do you mean we can't sell the property? Look right here at the powers.
Yes.
You don't
yes.
got the power to sell.
Right.
I mean, it is just, it's heartbreaking, too.
Oh,
because,
yeah.
you know, I mean,
because you're pretty far down the road by the time that is
so
usually
far,
found.
So far. I mean, literally, sometimes that is right before closing because we start asking, hey, we need to
yes.
see that divorce decree. We need to see that debt. You know, we need
Where
to see
your
all
trust documents.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. And we're asking, and they're like, we're going to give them to you. We are. I'm like, okay, well, the sooner the better. And then they give them to us, and we're like, look, you don't have the power to sell. And they're like, why didn't you tell me?
Well, and as an agent, it just takes one time.
Mm-hmm.
It just takes one time of that kind of thing happening. And then every time after, you're like, you need those trust documents during the option period.
Mm-hmm.
Find them now.
Mm-hmm.
Send them now.
Yep.
We'll save everybody a whole lot of heartache.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
Yes. Well, you talked about trusts.
Mm-hmm.
Are you...
Do you want to talk more about them?
Am I interrupting your train of thought here? Because I know trusts are something that we deal with all the time. A lot of people for estate planning purposes are putting their properties in trusts.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'm not even going to pretend to understand the intricacies of
Me
all
neither.
Of the different types of trusts,
mm-hmm.
living trusts, irrevocable trusts, all kinds of stuff.
Right.
But I do know that, you know, specifically for estate planning purposes, people are using them. They're also using them because they're private. unlike a will, you can keep them private, whereas right. a will is a public document. And, I mean, with the wealth and demographic of some people who live here in Kendall County, trusts are kind of the only way to go.
Right. And we see a lot of them.
Yeah.
And you're right. You know, the intricacies of all of them, you know, kind of go over my head. But the bottom line is, I know that when I see a trust in title, if somebody calls and says, oh, so-and-so is deceased, one of the trustees.
Yeah.
Then first thing I want to know is, okay, let me see that trust.
Right.
Are you co-trustees? Like you know, one cannot act without the other, or can you act without the other?
Mm-hmm.
Did that trust give the interest of the deceased trustee over to the other? I mean, and again, I want to go back to making sure you have an attorney that mm-hmm. knows what they're doing. And the thing is, those of us that are not attorneys, that don't do this all day, every day, we don't even know if we have it right or we don't have it right.
We don't even know the questions to ask sometimes,
right.
frankly.
Right. So that's why it's so important to make sure that you vet whoever is doing this for you. And
yes.
the vetting process should not be, I'm going with the cheapest dude that I found on the corner, because probably that's not going to be the best option.
In a van down by the river.
A white panel van. No.
Yeah, don't do that.
So, I mean, really do your homework before you go and have a trust created. But the idea is, you know, that with this trust, with the passing of one of the trustees, then that interest conveys over, and then one trustee has the power, again, to sell. That, you know, when a trust is prepared, there are certain things we as the real estate community are looking for that are probably going to be different than your bank down the street.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, I mean, we are looking for specific things for that trust to tell us who the trustees are. Right? We want to make sure, you know what, hold that thought.
Okay.
Who the trustees are, that the trusts have the power of sale,
mm-hmm.
that they have the power to create liens,
mm-hmm.
right? That they can borrow money and all of that within the trust.
Mm-hmm.
All of those things we're worried about.
Yeah.
Now, we are also, you know, wanting to make sure that when they prepared this trust, that they've got the correct certifications, you know. So one of the things that we always require is, okay, let us see a copy of the trust. Does it have all of these things?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now do you have a certification of that trust? And if they don't, you know, a lot of times we prepare the certification that says everything in this trust is still accurate.
Gotcha.
Right? Because there are what are called codicils to your will. And that is where you change things.
Yeah.
Like, and you can change all sorts of things. You can add property. You can, you know, those kind of things.
Like an amendment.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
It's like an amendment. They just call it a codicil. So big word, scary word, not so scary.
It's the legal community.
I know.
Yeah.
They work.
They do.
On things for us to be confused about.
Yeah.
Okay, so I know that there's other things that I want to touch on with trusts. But for sure, those certifications, for sure that you have the power to sell.
Yeah.
Can you think of any other big questions that might come up?
Well, the trusts, I mean, in all fairness, because there's so many different kinds of trusts and so many ways you can set them up, I really just lend to the professionals.
Right.
Besides myself to tell me how to handle this.
Yeah. I will tell you this, that there was a time when it was all the rage and so, so cool for a trust to create another trust upon the passing of the trustee.
Oh, yes. I've
okay,
seen that.
So,
yes.
Like, okay, Ariel's trust, when she passes, creates a trust for Ashley.
Yes.
And when she... Okay. Well, so we say, hey, Ariel, this trust is entitled. We want to see a copy of that trust. So you give me a copy of that trust. I look through that and it creates another trust. So then I start asking for that trust.
Yes.
And literally people get so fussy. They're like,
yep.
Why didn't you ask for all these trusts at one time?
Because you didn't know they existed.
Yeah. Why didn't you tell me each one of these trusts creates
yes.
another trust? And
yes.
it is literally because, you know, Joe Blow off the street goes to an attorney, has it prepared, and doesn't really understand it. And I, you know, that sounded very, I don't know, snotty. And that's not at all what I meant.
Mm-mm.
What I meant was that this is so intricate, and every attorney, you know, has their own way of doing things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so I don't know that we can understand everything within every one of these trusts. But there are certain things like power to sell that you
yes.
want to make sure that you have.
Well, because your hands are tied otherwise.
Exactly.
And it's a lot. I mean, death can be a long, drawn-out process for the survivors to
yes.
clean everything up anyway. If you can save yourself some time.
Yeah.
I mean, it's imperative because a lot of people are stranded.
Right.
Because depending on how the trust is set up, if you can't sell the property, you don't have the money you need to make other decisions.
Right. And here is another thing. So I, more than once in my career, I have had somebody come in and just walk in off the street. Here's my trust. I own my property in this trust. And I want to make sure that I can sell it. My husband is deceased. The trust looks good. We look. Yes. You know, mm-hmm. it's both of y'all. You each have the power to sell. You can act alone. Okay. We're looking good. Mm-hmm. And then we go and we pull title to the property and they never moved it into the trust. So that is why, you know, if you have an attorney prepare a trust, then you need a real estate attorney. You know, Correct. If that's a family law
yes.
attorney, then you need a real estate attorney to prepare deeds to move all your property into these trusts.
Yes.
Because if it's just Ariel and Ashley and Ariel and Ashley have a trust, but we never deeded our property from Ariel and Ashley over to our trust,
yeah.
then guess what? When something happens to one of us, then we've got to deal with the fallout of that. And if we have thought all along we had it all covered because we moved the property into the trust,
yeah.
let me tell you what a fabulously pleasant conversation that is to have with someone.
Yes.
You know, that thinks, well, wait a minute, I went to all these attorneys, I had all this done, I am prepared for this.
Yes.
But you're not.
Yes. Well, and a lot of times, in all fairness, the clients that I've had, they were elderly. Mm-hmm. And they're confused about a lot of different things because things are so different today than they were, you know, just 20 years ago. Then their children are trying to help them and the children aren't, I mean, it's an education yeah. all in itself.
Yeah, sometimes we have way too many bosses and not enough little worker people, you know, when you've got like the kids calling and the parents calling and, you know, all of that. So, yes, I absolutely.
It's just a heightened, you know.
The emotions are heightened.
Very much.
That's great.
Yeah.
It's so true. And I know how stressful. I mean, we've talked about this previously about, you know, that they say, you know, death, divorce, and buying and selling property.
Yeah.
So just throw that death into buying or selling. And now you know, you have exacerbated everybody's emotions.
Yes.
Everybody's on edge. And then you have to tell them what they thought was the way it was going to work because an attorney told them that's not the way title companies see it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just ugly.
Yeah, it can be. Well, and I know, again, going back to the whole sandwich generation thing, you know, trying to help navigate some of this. We touched briefly on the kids side of things. It's really hard when your parent has to delegate and to give you some control or at least some nitty-gritty information on what's been going on.
I have a child that you didn't know about. That's my favorite.
Oh, that gives me heart palpitations. But, you know, things like, for just, you know, advice to adult children is just maybe ask some questions about how your parents have handled things and are their affairs in order and are there things that maybe need to be addressed that y'all could start taking care of now so that there is peace of mind. Because really, it's all about peace of mind.
Right.
Nobody gets out of this alive.
Nope.
Does not. So let's just try and make it a little bit easy. You talked about wills, making sure that you've designated how you want things to happen in a will.
Yeah, and maybe I should state, you know, Ariel said, you know, ask them, do they have their affairs in order? And then perhaps ask for proof.
Oh, trust but verify.
Yeah.
Trust but
verify.
Sometimes
your parents really do think they have it all together, and they do not.
They do not. Well, and I have to say, my elderly parent situation with having to, I mean, it was shock and awe.
Yeah.
Had to move him into a facility, still had a mortgage on a house, still had outstanding debt, just
yeah.
all kinds of stuff to try and unravel and then, you know, dealing with dementia and he doesn't even know what he has going on.
Right.
So, you know, one of the greatest things that we did was a power of attorney,
mm-hmm.
which I know that you and I have talked quite a bit about powers of attorney with regards to real estate. Get the power of attorney checked out before you assume it's the right one.
Right.
But even getting on bank accounts so that you can help with making some decisions. Researching how is the house described in for the appraisal district for tax purposes.
Right.
That's where you discover, oh my gosh, the house isn't actually in the trust. What are we going to do when we need to sell? It's not fun conversations by any means, but it's really important conversations. Because,
necessary.
Yeah, because it's about how do we make this as easy as possible if the worst happens. But it's also just how do we help mom and dad because what if they want to sell and they're much older? You know, what things are in place so that a trusted child or a trusted family member can go in and help? Because if it's not designated, if there's nowhere in writing legally, mm-hmm. you're going to be relying on somebody who may not be able to help themselves.
Right. And, you know, powers of attorney, we take those very seriously.
Yes.
You know, and you want to make sure that when the person executes the power of attorney, that they are in their right mind, that they right. know what they're signing. You know, and so it is good to go ahead and get those done. And I think any real estate attorney, any title company, we have one that is like a promulgated power of attorney that mm-hmm. kind of covers, you know, where they can give you the powers to do all the things that need to be done for a real estate transaction, which would also include like your banking and your,
correct.
You know, I mean, it's a very comprehensive type power of attorney that is, you know, covers so many things.
Yes.
And here is just a side note, have more than one executed, same person having the powers, but like when we get ready to convey a piece of property using a power of attorney, we have to have that original. It has to be recorded yeah. of record. So if you think I'm going to leave the title company and I'm going to go down the street to the bank, okay, well, I'm going to keep that power of attorney to get it recorded.
Yes.
You know, and now we've kind of got some things where we can record them a lot quicker than we used to, but it's just smart, you know, to have a couple of copies of it, which I'm not an attorney. There may be an attorney out there who's literally ripping his hair out saying you can't have two, but I don't think that's true. I'm going to go with you should have two.
You know what? They're welcome to call in right. and correct hey, us.
Wait a minute. Facebook, at the closing table on Facebook. Just feel
just be
free.
Nice. Yeah. We don't like mean people.
I'm going to be like the TikTok people and say, if you're mean to us, we're going to block you.
One thing Ashley and I had talked about a little bit ago was the real estate side with regards to lenders, and should someone pass away and there's still a mortgage on the property. I have seen a couple different times where, you know, a family member just decides to move into grandma's house or grandpa's house or uncle's house. And, they just think that by continuing to pay the mortgage, they can stay there. Ashley and I were I have had the privilege and honor to represent people in a lot of very sticky situations. But when someone passes away, that information is sent out.
The funeral home sends out notices, I guess.
Yes, I believe that's what it's called. So eventually that lender is going to find out that the person has passed away, and it's not fun when you've been paying the mortgage for however long it takes to, you know, let's be honest, sometimes it takes a long right. time for people to figure things out. But you don't get that money back. You've just been paying into a mortgage for somebody else. You don't get the house. Sometimes it results in the sheriff coming and there's an eviction to
Ooh,
get you out.
That's fun.
It is just, oh.
It's so fun.
Yeah. It's rough. So, I mean, the other thing too, when you have a lender and there's a spouse involved after a death, it's important to figure out, do you have to refinance? What do you do so that the spouse can stay in the house if they want to? And it can get a little sticky.
It does get sticky. You know, and in the beginning I said that there are so many different reasons to have these conversations.
Yeah.
You know, and one is, okay, I'm married and we're happily married. We are not selling our house. And then one of the spouses passes,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then, you know, we have people come in and they're like, okay, you know, how do I get my deceased spouse off title? You know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you asked me something and then I don't know, got off topic, but you asked about if they have a will versus not
yes,
having a will.
Yes.
Is this a good time to go back and talk
I
about
think
that?
So. Well, I think so, because I think there may be some confusion over...
Yes. Okay. So if you have a will, you can probate.
Yeah.
If you have a will, you can also still do affidavits of heirship if you meet the requirements for the flow chart, meaning we were only married to each other and we only had children together.
Yeah.
Okay. If that is the case, we do an affidavit of heirship. We attach a copy of the will that says generally, not always, but generally, the deceased spouse gives all of my interest and everything to my living spouse. That's usually how those are written.
Right.
Right. Okay. So then we record the affidavit of heirship along with the will that reiterates the fact that there were these two children and
yeah.
all, you know, all the deceased party's interest went to the surviving spouse.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's easy.
Yeah.
That's the easiest of all the scenarios. Let's say that the person passes with no will, but they were only married to each other and they only had children together.
Yeah.
We can still do an affidavit of heirship.
Yeah.
We just, of course, don't have a will to attach. But because the flow chart tells us that the deceased party's interest goes to the surviving spouse, we're all still warm and fuzzy. Okay? Easy.
Okay.
Now, let's say that they die without a will and there are children from another marriage. Okay?
Yeah.
There is, in, unless you probate, we are going to require that those other children convey with you. Okay? So what's going to happen is, let's say it's Ariel and Ashley, and we have three little children, and we've called them A, B, and C.
Okay.
And then we have D, that you had outside of wedlock with someone else. It had to be
Lonnie.
You. It had to be you. Okay. So, not only, so even though these people were married to each other and we had A, B, and C together.
Yeah.
Because we've got D out there, we're going to make A, B, C, and D all execute.
Gotcha.
To convey any interest that they might have.
Gotcha.
Because what our job at the title company is to make sure that there's no outstanding interest.
Gotcha.
And same thing would be if you have a will that is not probated and you want to do affidavits of heirship and you got A, B, C, and then D from another marriage.
Yeah.
We are still going to make them sign. And people come in here all the time and they're like, here's the will. My spouse wanted me to have everything. And I say, okay, go get yourself an attorney and probate that and then come back and talk to me.
Yeah.
And they're like, I don't want to. It's going to take too long. I've already got a con. Okay. You got two options.
Right.
You can either probate or A, B, C, and D, our cute little sibling or whatever, all have to sign.
Yeah.
So you choose.
Yikes.
But, you know, I give them good options and still they're mad at me over it. I don't know.
Don't kill the messenger.
Right.
Well, and I can say, too, that, I mean, it's, in our area, we're seeing so many of these large ranches and family estates that are being sold. And I can't tell you how many times we've, you know, both parents have passed away and you've got adult siblings trying to figure out what they want to do. And sometimes it's not really that easy to get everybody on the same page. And, you know, a lot of times things are held up considerably because one person didn't know they had the right to say no, or one person was like, I don't like that person's offer, or, you know, because emotions are so high, maybe you're selling the family home.
Right.
And one sibling is like, well, I'm really upset because I can't have it. Well, if you know, it has to be sold because nobody can afford to keep it. There's so many times that it can just be.
I know the emotions on this are always so high. And I feel like if everything is not just perfect, it really does just, you know, blow everything out of the water. But ultimately, I feel like so many times people prepare, and still are not prepared.
Right.
I don't know if that makes sense, but, you know, they
don't know
what
you are. But you don't know what you don't know.
You don't know what you don't know.
So I think this is, again, you know, the theme of this podcast is providing people with information to maybe start asking questions. And it's, you know, if you feel like you're coming down the pipeline with this situation, or even if you're a young person and just start thinking, you know, I'd like to be prepared so that I know what my options are and I've got this settled.
Right.
It's maybe a good time to talk to an attorney.
Right. That's always my favorite catchphrase. I think it's time for you to seek outside counsel. Okay, so there's one, well, maybe not just one more thing I want to talk about, but here is another thing that I have people asking me about a lot.
Okay.
And because we've talked about all of this where, okay, they have just passed.
Yes.
So what happens if, you know, you're not in the middle of a transaction, your spouse passes, and it's 17 years? And now all of a sudden, you know, I want to go live in Minger to play cards all day and whatever. And I want to sell my house.
Yeah.
So people are like, oh, well, he's been deceased for 17 years, so we're good. No.
No, not always.
No, it just doesn't work like that. So you have to address it now or later.
Yeah.
Okay? So even if they have been deceased for a long time, we still go back to the flow chart. So no matter what amount of time has passed, you have to account for everyone's interest in a piece of property.
Yeah.
And so, you just want to make sure, you know, that if you, you know, someone has passed, that maybe you ask those questions. Sometimes we tell people, you know, okay, when you get ready to sell, we'll do affidavits of heirship, or we'll do this or that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I've had customers who have come in and said, you know, my husband passed and I want to do this because I don't want to leave a mess for my children, or,
yeah,
you know, that kind of thing. So if you are someone who is a planner, you know,
mm-hmm,
it is always good to make plans for this, because we all know that, you know, it happens to everybody.
And as a child in the middle of some of this, like, please, please,
right,
do your kids a favor, unless you don't like them.
yeah.
Don't do anything, but, you
know. Yeah, leave them for us to deal with, please.
but, yeah, I mean, it's just, it was such a gift to have. I mean, we were getting great advice when we didn't even realize how much we had needed the advice, because,
right,
we didn't know what we didn't know.
Yep.
And the parent isn't deceased. The parent is just now
incapacitated. Almost,
correct.
Yeah. And,
yeah,
that's horrible. I mean, it's horrible.
It's hard. It's,
yeah,
really, really hard. But again, we were really lucky. I was terribly lucky, because most of my paperwork I ran through Ashley to make sure that it was right.
Hey, take a look at this.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Did we do it right 3 years ago? I don't know.
But that's, yes, what I always say. Phone a friend.
Yes.
Right? If,
yes,
you don't know, ask somebody that does. And if they don't know, hopefully they're a good enough friend to tell you, hey, I don't know, seek outside counsel.
Well,
you
and
know?
In all fairness, you know, having been in the community for a really long time, Ashley's been here longer than I have. You know, the benefit of at least knowing how to point you in the right direction to get some questions answered, and at least pointing you in a direction that if that person doesn't know, I'm certain they'll know who to ask.
Yeah.
So by all means, feel free to reach out to us if you do have questions.
You know, one thing you said earlier, something about, you know, you've got a bunch of kids and now the parents are deceased and nobody knows, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I just want to raise my hand on the whole undivided interest, which is probably not something we really want to talk about, and we'll talk about it later. But just so you know, like, let's say that you've got 100 acres and you leave it to your three kids. If you don't say, you know, if you don't divide it into three pieces and say, okay, Ariel gets this piece, Ashley gets this piece, and Joe Blow gets this piece, then it's undivided interest, which means all the children own all of it. There's,
yes,
no, you know,
that's
so
a good point.
We really need to talk about that sometime, because,
oh, yes,
there is a lot to cover in that, and we don't have time to unpack that today.
And we'll do a death part two, but maybe not next,
yeah,
time.
No,
because
I know, because we gotta be more upbeat.
I know.
Okay, so I think we've covered it all.
I think,
have we,
yeah,
covered
for
it all?
I think we've given a lot of people a lot of stuff to chew on, that's for sure.
Yeah, and if nothing else, we've created a lot more questions. So y'all can contact us on Facebook. We'll be anxiously awaiting all of the questions. Okay, so you have been listening to At the Closing Table with Ashley and Ariel. You can hear us the first Saturday of every month from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. And if you missed a podcast,
yeah,
or you want to re-listen, because it has been so fascinating, please feel free to download the Reggae Rocks app, and you can look under podcasts. And so our,
yeah,
previous podcast
and
will be
we
there.
Are terribly grateful to Reggae Rocks Kendall County for hosting us and putting up with us.
Yes,
and
for putting up with us.
Yes.
We appreciate that.
Very, very much.
Okay, well, thank you guys for listening, and we'll catch you next time.